Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Thursday, November the 18th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, more police will be out on patrol to protect women and girls in Kent this Christmas. There are fears an historic building in Canterbury could collapse into the river. And we've got reaction from Gillingham's under-18s boss following last night's game in the FA Youth Cup. But first today, a Strood woman faces spending Christmas in a Premier Inn after a car crashed into her bungalow 2 months ago. Jill Robson was forced to move out of her property after the vehicle smashed into her bedroom on October the 19th. Despite numerous calls to insurers, the 84-year-old still doesn't know when she'll be able to move back in. Well, Jill has been speaking to our reporter, Ellie Hodgson.
I want to get back to life. Yeah. Living my life and not living from day to day because I don't know what's... What? I've got bed and breakfast here. Evening meal I have to pay for.
The insurance company subsidising it?
I think it's an extra £10.
You're paying an extra £10 a day for dinner?
They're paying me extra £10.
But does that cover it?
No. So whenever I go out shopping or have a meal here, I get receipts. Even when I have to go down the laundrette, I say, can you give me a receipt? And they give me a receipt for the laundrette.
At the moment, what is their estimated time they think that your work will be done?
I don't know. I don't know. Because I've got food in my fridge. It's been there for, I bought it on the, 1980, on the 17th of October. I did a whole shop and stocked up for winter. And I got food in the fridge. And I've not touched it. And it's off. I've got bread that's blue. And I'm thinking, have I got to phone them up to state I'm going to get rid of food or do I automatically get rid of it?
Are you even allowed to go back in the house, Connie?
They've not said I can, no. They've not said, well, it is safe for you to go the back way.
On the day of the crash on Cuxton Road, a woman in her 40s was arrested on suspicion of drink driving and assaulting an emergency worker. She remains on bail.
Kent Online News.
An Aylesford man who bit his ex-girlfriend on the face and held her by the neck has been handed a prison sentence. A court heard Stanley Maker attacked his former partner after being told their relationship was over. Despite being jailed for 13 months, the 30-year-old from Forstall Road was released immediately due to time he's already served on remand since being arrested in June. He's been given a 3-year restraining order. A man in his 50s has died after being hit by a van near Tunbridge. Emergency crews were called to the A228 Boyle Way in East Peckham on Tuesday evening. Investigators are keen to speak to anyone with dash cam footage. We're told the driver of the van is assisting officers with inquiries. Police have released a CCTV image of a person they want to speak to following an alleged arson attack in Chatham. Officers were called to the blaze at Carton House in New Road just after midnight on Saturday. 3 cars had been engulfed in flames. We've shared the pictures of the women on our socials. An elderly woman from Canterbury who was scammed out of £5,000 by a fake travel company has spoken out to raise awareness. Jan Edith tried to book flights to Australia to visit her daughter, but was duped by fraudsters who managed to track her details online and talked her into making payments over the phone. The 84-year-old is now urging other people to be vigilant. Now, there'll be an increase of police patrols around pubs and clubs in Kent this Christmas to help protect women and girls. Both plain-clothed and uniformed officers will be out to identify anyone looking to take advantage or who poses a threat to public safety.
Apparently, you stood leering at girls, intently staring at them, making them feel really uncomfortable. We're going to issue you a direction to leave town, okay?
We have noticed you for quite a long time, hours, from the evening.
Yeah.
You're just loitering and your friends just loitering around. Is there any particular reason you're just loitering around?
It's called Project Vigilant and has already been rolled out in Canterbury, Medway and Maidstone. Let's hear first from Superintendent Nick Sparks.
Project Vigilant is an initiative designed to target predatory sexual behaviours and offences, particularly in our nighttime economy areas. We will deploy plain clothes and uniformed officers working together to identify those who are behaving inappropriately or in odd or suspicious ways. Once we've identified those individuals, the plainclothes officers will direct the uniform officers to intervene and approach them and ask them why they're there, what they're doing, and find out if there's anything that we need to be concerned about. Our aim is to reassure the public that we're out there, we are policing, we're trying to stop crime before it happens, and also send a strong message to those who are here to act inappropriately or commit offences. We are out there, we are using lots of tactics, and we will catch you.
PC Lauren Snook is among those who'll be out on patrol.
As a uniformed officer, I'm alerted by my plainclothes colleagues that someone has been displaying derogatory behaviour or unwanted behaviour towards someone vulnerable. I would then go over, take details, engage with that person and find out a little bit more about their night and try and discourage them from the town centre and take any details if I need to.
Now, this all comes as we're told teachers are going to be trained to tackle misogyny and toxic ideas among boys as part of a new government strategy. It'll see lessons around healthy relationships rolled out to all secondary schools. A helpline will also be set up for teenagers with concerns.
Kent Online reports.
This is one of our most read stories on the website today. Parents using buggies and people with mobility issues have criticised plans for a new railway crossing in Ashford. Bosses have decided to ditch the idea of a ramped footbridge connecting Conningbrook Lakes and Crown Hill View for one with steps instead. Disability campaigners have called it a disgrace, with some facing a mile diversion route instead. South Eastern Railway say it was the most suitable option. Dozens of drivers who received fines for stopping in yellow box junctions in Medway are to have them overturned. The penalties were issued during heavy traffic at the time of the Rochester Dickens Festival, when temporary traffic lights were also in place. The council say the fines shouldn't have been sent out while restrictions were in place on Corporation Street. They've apologised for the error. Now, more than 170 drink and drug driving offences have been recorded in the first half of Kent Police's annual Christmas enforcement campaign.
Blow, 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 blow. Stop. So I'm arresting you for being over the prescribed limit of alcohol whilst driving, to drink driving. So you do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned something you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
It's all part of a national operation which aims to reduce the number of people killed or seriously injured during the festive period. Chief Inspector Craig West is from the Roads Policing Unit.
Over the last 2 weeks now, we have continued our focus on keeping Kent's roads safer. I have had officers out every single shift in marked vehicles and unmarked vehicles, performing breath tests and drug tests on the roadside. We have attended collisions and we have done routine stop checks on the sides of roads. Unfortunately, we have still seen a small minority of people that are continuing to be irresponsible. My message to you now is that if you are tempted to drive impaired, do not do it. Do not take that risk and do not be the next person that is arrested and placed before a court and had their licence taken away from them. It's not worth the risk.
Staying with roads news, and Operation Brock is now active with lorries queuing on the M20 because of delays at the Eurotunnel in Folkestone. A technical problem means passengers and freight services are waiting at least 2 hours to cross the channel at the time of recording today's podcast. The coned-off area of the motorway near Ashford is being used to hold HGVs so other traffic can keep moving through the contraflow. Don't forget, you can hear regular travel bulletins over on our sister radio station KMFM. You can also get the very latest by clicking on the interactive map. Just head to the travel pages of Kent Online to see that. And if you're planning to travel by train in Kent over the festive season, you're being urged to check your journey first. South Eastern's network will be completely closed on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Services to and from London Victoria, Charing Cross and Waterloo East will also be disrupted the following week because of maintenance work and upgrades.
Kent Online reports.
Heading to Thanet now because plans to transform the Jackie Baker's Recreation Ground into a multi-sport community hub are going to be discussed later. Temporary facilities have opened at the site off Highfield Road in Ramsgate, and the council are now exploring their next steps. Latest proposals include 3G pitches, multi-use games areas and an indoor community space. Meantime, the future of the Port of Ramsgate will come under the spotlight again later as it's discussed by council leaders. It follows a decision in the summer not to go ahead with a project aimed at attracting an operator to run it. A new report suggests it would cost £17.5 million to bring the berths and quayside back into use. A Maidstone man is urging people to take part in a consultation on future gypsy and traveller sites after finding one was proposed next door. The resident, who didn't want to be named, says he found out a field next to his home had been earmarked from a friend and believes neighbours should have been directly informed. Council bosses are trying to identify more than 500 potential locations by 2040 to help people in the community find places to live. There are fears an historic building in Canterbury could collapse into the river if £250,000 worth of repairs aren't carried out. Eastbridge Hospital was built to provide accommodation for pilgrims heading to the nearby cathedral and dates back to 1180. Well, it's now a museum and almshouse, but has started to lean and has been closed for a year. Chloe Brewster from our colleagues at KMTV has been speaking to Louise Knight, who's CEO of the Eastbridge Hospital charity.
We used to open, summertimes we'd be open from 10 o'clock till 5, and then winter we used to open around midday until about 3. And we were open 7 days a week. So we had tourists coming in, we would do group tours. Lots of local people would come in as well, and we'd try and host local functions so that they had somewhere that they could use, probably the refectory or the brothers' lodgings.
Mm-hmm. And obviously that amount of numbers coming in, how many people were you seeing on a daily basis and how much were you getting for the charity with that?
We used to get probably in a season in this building, we used to get just over 10,000 people, which obviously now we've been closed for over a year. So it's had a massive impact on the finances of the charity, which is why we're now finding we can't afford to pay for the renovations and all the work that needs doing down here in the Undercroft.
So how much are you asking for those renovations?
We've been told a guide would be £250,000, but it obviously depends on what they find when they start doing the works. It could be more. It'd be wonderful if it was less, but I very much doubt it.
Mm-hmm. And that must be stressful, you know, you can't have visitors because of the safety issues, and it's the visitors that are going to make you the money. What are you having to do now to try and get those renovations and open this back up again?
So we have the Franciscan Gardens, which we still have visitors going in there daily. We have the revenue from that. We've had to stop all of the school trips, which is really sad because we were working with local schools, bringing children in. We have an amazing volunteer group who help with all the tours, and we work towards their curriculum. So at the moment, we're just trying to grant fund and trying to raise funds that way, because the charity doesn't have its own funds to pay for this now.
So how important is it to get this back open again and keep it around for the sort of the culture in Canterbury?
I think it's massively important. We're that unknown little gem in the high street that people have heard of but maybe not been to for a long time. But I think historically there is so much here that it would be heartbreaking if this building were to close permanently and the charity finished. It just wouldn't be, it's not conceivable.
The site has been added to an at-risk register compiled by English Heritage.
Kent Online News.
Groups in Maidstone are being given the chance to bid for cash to help households struggling with food and fuel poverty this winter. The council's set up a support fund and will provide grants of between £500 and almost £5,000. They're hoping to hear from lunch clubs or people who supply meal boxes and clothing. Applications for cash can be made until January the 7th. 20 handmade angels fixed to a fence outside a church in Canterbury as part of a Christmas display have been stolen. A group of women spent the last year making the decorations for St Dunstan's, but they were taken over the weekend. The parish priest is asking for the thieves to summon their Christmas spirit and return them. And sheep are being used instead of lawn mowers as part of a conservation scheme in a new woodland near Maidstone. A flock of 10 Portland sheep has been released onto land in Sutton Valence, which has recently been planted with more than 2,000 saplings. The idea is to have them eat the grass and brambles over the winter to provide more space for the trees and cut down on costs. Shelley Wilkin is Maidstone Borough Council's Climate and Biodiversity Manager.
I'm here in Maidstone on this beautiful winter's morning for a very, very exciting arrival. So shortly we are having some Portland sheep arrive to graze this piece of land. So I am in Sutton Valence. This is parish council owned land. 3 years ago, in partnership with Maidstone Borough Council, over 2,000 native trees were planted here, as you can see. Now, they're not in leaf at the moment because it's winter, so it's a perfect time to trial these sheep coming in to graze. Now, they are a native endangered species of sheep, so they look a little bit different to the standard commercial sheep that you see. They do have horns, and they graze a little bit differently. They like and they can handle the rough stuff, the sort of the thistles, the prickles. So they'll be fantastic to come in here and knock back this grass a little bit. And they will be often plenty of time to make sure that these trees come into bud and come into leaf without being nibbled by the sheep. So they will be often moved somewhere else by the time these trees come out of dormancy. So in the summer, residents have actually discussed how leaving the wildflowers here has resulted in a huge boom in species, particularly butterflies this year and bird species. So to trial a natural solution to land management on this site is really, really, really exciting, because it means that they're not locking themselves into a harsh mowing regime where they have to mow multiple times throughout the year. What they can do is they can leave this beautiful meadow for the spring and for the summer, let those wildflowers come through, let it support all that wildlife, and then autumn, winter, when all the leaves fall off the trees, can pop the sheep in here to give it a little bit of a tidy up and give these trees a bit of a head start for the next time in spring when they come to life.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham's under-18s have been knocked out of the FA Youth Cup. They were beaten 2-0 by Stevenage in their third round match last night. Boss Joe Dunn spoke to the club's media team after the game.
I thought it was a great performance. We had two moments of slight detail issues that obviously cost us. But I think overall, considering the team that we have available to us and the players that we're missing, I thought it was a fantastic performance against a really strong team. Pushed them all the way. Lots of final third entries. Thought we dominated the second half. But listen, I can say that. And unfortunately, we've exited the competition. But overall, I'm very proud of the performance tonight. With a lot of young players, and they really gave a right good go. We didn't probably quite create enough. However, our approach play in the second half especially was excellent. And then there's like a one or two issues with the post and maybe possible penalty and possible second yellow that could probably change the game. But overall, really pleased. I thought it was a great performance. We had two moments of slight detail issues that obviously cost us. But I think overall, considering the team that we have available to us and the players that we're missing, I thought it was a fantastic performance against a really strong team. Pushed them all the way. Lots of final third entries. Thought we dominated the second half. But listen, I can say that. And unfortunately, we've exited the competition. But overall, I'm very proud of the performance tonight. With a lot of young players, and they really gave a right good go. We didn't probably quite create enough. However, our approach play in the second half especially was excellent. And then there's like a one or two issues with the post and maybe possible penalty and possible second yellow that could probably change the game. But overall, really pleased. I thought it was a great performance.
Around 300 fans were at the match at Priestfield. And in cricket, England's slim hopes of Ashes success are fading pretty fast. Kent's Zach Crawley opened the batting on day two of their third test overnight, but only managed to score 9 runs. England finished the day on 213 for 8. That's still 158 runs behind Australia's first innings score. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest Eat My Words food review.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.